Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. On this half of the program, we want to talk about the issue of health care, and specifically about a brand new documentary that is coming out. We're going to be talking with Colin Gunn here in just a moment. We're trying to hook up with Colin, and as soon as we hook up with him, we will go ahead and get him on the line so that we can bring him into the conversation. There's a paraphrase of a statement that was made by author P.J. O'Rourke. It says, "If you think healthcare is unaffordable now, wait till it's free." I thought that was a great statement. And that phrase really sums up the reality of socialized medicine. And that's what Colin talks about in this brand new documentary. I watched the documentary myself the other day. In fact, I think it was, well, it's all blur now, but I think it was last night. But I watched it last night, and it was very well done. You won't be disappointed with this documentary. We've got Colin on the line now. Colin, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Great to be on your show again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, great. Great to have you back. Why don't you tell our listening audience about the documentary, what it's all about, and then I want to talk about the logistics of it here. Is it released in a way that people can get the documentary right now, and who is it for, and can they show it at their church? All of those logistics, but let's start first with you giving us an overview of what this documentary is all about.
Absolutely. So the film Wait Till It's Free is about healthcare in America, and of course we're focusing on this notion, this idea that socialized medicine tries to sell you, and that it is that it's a good thing that healthcare should be free, that we should provide free healthcare for everyone in America, along the lines of Canada and Europe. And a lot of people, a lot of your listeners probably know that is the direction we're heading, where we have a system right now that is partly socialized, almost 50% socialized medicine in America through the VA and Medicare, Medicaid, and all the rest of it. But we're heading towards a single-payer system like we have in Canada and Europe. And we're talking about that in the film. We're showing people that, first, there's no such thing as free, and when something is offered as free, that it comes at a gigantic cost. And that cost for especially Christians is the loss of liberty and the loss of life. And we talk about the consequences for life issues, abortion, eugenics, and euthanasia as people move towards this progressive socialized system. So that's the essence of what we talk about in the movie. We do that by traveling around America, interviewing plenty doctors, but we also ask experts and get opinions on why the healthcare costs are so high in America. Because to be honest, we don't have anywhere near a perfect system. We don't have anywhere near a free market system. And so we talk about what we have in America, which in some ways is actually worse than a socialist system, because it's a crony capitalist system, which is the a lot of government intervention and control combined with big people that get big money out of the system. So the hospital industry, insurance industry, big pharma, they're the people that wrote Obamacare. So that is, sums up the documentary film that's actually available for right now for people to see.
I wanted to go into a couple of the specifics of the things that you mentioned, and having seen the film now, I just don't want to be giving away the store. Is it okay to talk about some of the specifics?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay.
Talk about it. I think we'll encourage people to see it.
Well, good. The whole concept about that free is not really free. Somebody's paying for that. And when we see that, as you mentioned, that something is offered for free, you point out in the film itself then that people are much more likely to have a careless attitude about if somebody else is paying the bill, then it doesn't matter. They're going to have a frivolous attitude about using those services. For instance, I think you're over in the UK at this point in the film, but you talk about how people are using the ambulance service over there as a taxi service. So they know that it's free. They don't want to drink and drive. So if they get out and they get inebriated, rather than calling a taxi, they just call an ambulance. They get taken to the hospital, and then there from the hospital, they can work out a ride home, or it might be closer to where they're going and go from there. Talk about that a little bit.
Right. So it's a sort of bizarre circumstance, but it's just simple economics. When something is free or subsidized, people consume it at a higher rate. And what happens with welfare, as we know, is that when you subsidize non-work in our culture, what do you get more of? You get more people not working who would normally work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in health is a very similar thing. We're actually subsidizing bad health practices. And then the other aspect of what we call moral hazard in the insurance world or economic world, what you're also getting is the overconsumption of medical services because there's no associated cost. Now, cost is a great way to make people prioritize their own assets. So everyone rations, you know, the government's rationing healthcare, and that's one of the other things we talk about. But everyone rations according to their needs and the amount of money they have, and it's actually a pretty good mechanism that God has created. That's where the economy is self-determining the value of particular assets and whether you want them or not. The problem is if the cost is zero, then people will use those services whether they need them or not. And we know this is a fact in America as well. We have the same problem with overuse of people calling the ambulance when they don't need them. If they're on Medicaid, we know under Medicare there's overconsumption, particularly of pharmaceuticals. There's lots of the consequences to the offering of things for free or at a subsidized cost. And so it's not a neutral act. The idea you just bring people free health care, it sounds like a nice idea, but the big consideration, especially in our film, is that health care can't be neutral. So that subsidization actually gears towards a political agenda. And so Christians really need to be aware of that. And what happens in the UK is people lose access to the care because it's rationed to them, and that particularly affects the elderly. But what is subsidized is the abortion of the unborn child, sex changes, other plastic surgeries, things like that, psychiatric treatment, things that Christians would strongly debate or be opposed to. That is subsidized. And you have no choice within that healthcare system to get your money out. It's just compulsory, and that's the direction that we're going to go in America. And that's primarily what we're arguing Obamacare is about. It's about the goal is to use the healthcare system to push a political agenda, which is abortion, eugenics, and euthanasia.
Mm-hmm. There's even been reports done about when people use credit versus cash. Now, a lot of people do this. I carry very little cash, and I use credit almost exclusively. But there's been a lot of stories and a lot of research done about how that it's easier to spend the money if you're buying something using a credit card or a debit card because you don't actually see and feel the money and so forth. And it's kind of that concept, only exemplified stretched out even more, expanded there in what you talk about, that when healthcare is free, it's going to require that more resources are needed because the system is suddenly going to be flooded with people that are going to be using these services and taking advantage of these services. And then all of a sudden we're going to find that there's not enough resources in the system. We're going to have to, put more resources there, which is going to cost even more money and so forth. And it has a trickle effect here that's going to cause it to be even more expensive. Another area in the film that I thought was really interesting was, the VA system is kind of a microcosm, even though it's huge, but it's a good example of what socialized medicine looks like. It's not a very pretty picture, as we just saw here in the United States. It doesn't equate to very good care. The government doesn't seem to be able to do this job very well, and the VA is a really good example of that, right?
Oh, the VA perfectly reflects the symptoms that we outline with the National Health Service in Scotland and England, that there, all of these issues that we point out over there, the consequences of single payer, are happening here right now in the VA and through Medicare and through Medicaid, and so all those things that are a problem over there, the loss of service, the hidden waiting lists, and all the rest of it, are things that have been happening here. We're starting to get a little bit more attention. But we, as I said, we've had effectively a socialized healthcare system in America. In addition to that, we've got something that's almost worse, which is the crony capitalism. So Obamacare, you know, is written by the hospital industry and the insurance industry and big pharma, and reflects the big interests of big government. Of course, the government operates largely based on not the desires of the people that elect the congressman, but the association between the congressman and their electoral campaigns and K Street, which funds those campaigns. And so there's a bigger story here. I think, you know, a lot of people just think of Obamacare like, oh, this is a terrible thing, and it's used by, you know, the Republican Party or conservatives who want to get voted in to repeal Obamacare. But Obamacare is just doubling down on the 100 years of terrible decisions and interventions by the government into our healthcare market. And so that's what we're talking about in this film, that we need to really focus on reforming the whole system and getting back to genuine medical liberty. So our film focuses on that as well and gives options. And there's good news in this film that we're not left, you know, like the homeschooling argument we had in the indoctrination movie. There is hope, and the hope with that story was you don't need to use the public schools. You can take your kids out. Mm-hmm. The hope for us in healthcare is that we need to start building an independent system that Christians can legitimately use. Christians can't legitimately use a lot of socialized medicine because of your association with evil, abortion, and all the rest of it, plus the reduction in the quality of service that we saw with the public schools. The same is true even for a lot of private insurance policies that cover abortion. So we're advocating a separate system and how we pay for our health care, the type of health care that we want to purchase. There's good news. The film focuses on all of that, and so we give a message that of hope in the film. And we talk about Christian responsibility in this whole story, what Christians are doing to bring free health care to the poor. So there's all these great stories in there. I think will encourage the viewer. Not all bad news, not all just Obamacare. There's a good story in there as well.
Right, Dad, but I think that the concept in the film, too, about there is hope at the end, and we're going to talk about that, but the horror of what is actually taking place in the current system. One part that you bring out in the film that I don't think Americans are fully aware of, and I've seen this myself, and I've talked to people in the hospital industry, the business. I think that's the first thing that you need to realize. People, I'm not talking to you, Colin, on that, just our listening audience, realize that this is a business. And I didn't realize that for many years. You know, you think about the healthcare and you think, well, you know, people just out of the goodness of their heart are performing these services. You gotta change that attitude. And when you look at this, for the most part, at least the current system, it is a business, and it's a money-making business. And when you look at it from that perspective, you start to see some things. For instance, in the film, over here, I think we refer to it as more of a palliative care or palliative care. Over in the film, you refer to it, I think, as the Liverpool path. And basically what was taking place and is taking place right now, I don't know if people realize this, but there are certain patients that are in the hospital. The hospital staff gets together and decides what sort of care that person will get. And sometimes they decide that person really needs to be more on like a palliative care, meaning that they're not going to go after the thing that the person, the illness that the person has. They're basically, in the film, they give the person morphine, and they just try to make them comfortable, but they begin to withdraw sustenance from them, you know, food and drink. And they've kind of made the decision for you that these people are not worthy of saving, and really we're just going to help them die comfortably. I think that was shocking, and the level at which that is actually taking place, both in America already and in your film in Liverpool, I think is absolutely astounding. Tell us about that.
Well, that is one of the key stories, and of course our big argument behind this is why we think healthcare has to be Christian and has to operate on Christian ethics. And of course, the unborn child has been the biggest victim from the medical industry over a debate about when life begins. And of course, the other end of that debate is when does life end? And what's happening in the whole debate right now is that we're seeing a devaluing of human life based on the unethical and unbelieving system that guides the healthcare system right now. And we're looking at the victim in there, which is going to be the baby boomers in America. They have, you know, effectively voided themselves entitlements, but those entitlements are going to be unpayable. We're not going to be able to fund those entitlements through, you know, Medicaid and Medicare are going to be bankrupt eventually and probably fairly soon. And they're going to be left with this. There's going to be this burden that's left on the taxpayer that just we cannot deal with. And so what's happened in the UK, which has always been, you know, 10, 15 years ahead in terms of socialism, they start to devalue human life through abortion, the abortion mentality, and they're applying it to the elderly now. So what happens is grandma goes into the hospital, she has an episode, they say that she's dying, which very often is the case, and we prove it in our film that they are not dying. They actually die from the treatment that they are given, which, as you said, is the morphine drip, the morphine IV, the removal of food and fluids, and any one of us would die within a couple of days, and that's what happens. And, of course, the family is unaware of what's really going on, except in a few circumstances where whistleblowers, like the doctor we have in our film, figures out what's going on. And the story we have in the film is the doctor figured out that his patient had been put on the Liverpool care pathway over the weekend. He figured it out, took him off the pathway, and he lived another 14 months. Rather than dying that day, he lived another 14 months. And eventually, he did die because he went to another hospital and got put on the pathway again somewhere else that the doctor didn't know about. So you see that this is a routine thing that happened in the UK. Hundreds of thousands of people died. And effectively, what they had was involuntary euthanasia, which is the worst type of euthanasia. We often talk about euthanasia simply as the choice to die, but this wasn't a choice. Many of the cases we've looked at, the patients were ignorant of what was happening to them. They were obviously unable, because they were drugged up, to perceive what was happening to them, and the families were unable to discern as well. They were just said, this is grandma's time, this is her time to die, and, you know, just prepare for it. But really, it was the hospital's actions that led to this. And the simple truth here is how you pay for your health care has everything to do with the type of health care you receive. And so in this instance, it wasn't because the doctors are mean or the nurses were mean. It's because there was no financial incentive for them to really care after or treat these patients like customers. What they were doing was treating these patients as consumers of a finite resource that these doctors and nurses felt that they were meant to protect. And that's an economic mistake. But we're seeing it here, and we'll see more of this. It actually does happen here in America a lot.
Oh, yeah.
This form of palliative care.
Oh, it definitely does. And I've talked to people that were behind the scenes on these things and had realized that patients that they were working with had been it had been decided by the hospital that this patient, their time was done, and that they were going to take this course of action on them. And you referred to it as involuntary euthanasia. That's quite a euphemism. I would say murder by medical malpractice. You know, they're taking the decision out of the hands of the family or the individual themselves, and assuming for themselves that the value that they have left in their life is no longer there, and that it would be best for them and for society if they just that was it, that if their life was just terminated. And there's no other word for that, taking of human life in that way, other than murder. And it's murder by the medical industry gone mad. And so this is where we're at. And that is taking place. I got to stress that with our listening audience. That is taking place. It's taking place here in Greenville. It's taking place here in America today. The medical groups there, the people at the hospital, are making those types of decisions today about of the health and the health care of your loved ones. And you got to be aware of that. You know, make sure you go into these. I'm telling my wife, you know, I just tell her, don't let them take me. The worst place you could be, in my opinion, is in that hospital. And so I just, like, don't let them take me if I go down, you know. But anyways, let's talk about some of the hope that you talk about now in the film. Towards the end of it, you highlight, first of all, various clinics that people have. These are caring individuals. These are people that are in it because they want to help people with their health. And the only way that they have found that they're able to do this is to circumvent the current system that we have, to get out of it, and then on their own to go ahead and open up a clinic where they can deal patient to doctor much more directly and to deal with the people that way. Tell us a little bit about that, Colin, and we got to leave enough time for you to tell our listeners about how they can get a copy of this DVD.
Well, absolutely. So what's happening is we're seeing medical liberty taking place here, and it's a great thing to see. So we have doctors who are leaving the third party and government pay system. They're creating, restoring the doctor-patient relationship, which includes that economic aspect where people come in and pay for a service. What's amazing to me is we find examples, plenty of examples in those narratives of people who could qualify for socialist medicine, maybe in Canada or maybe in Medicaid here, but they would rather pay for a good service and they go to these private doctors and get the best treatment possible. So that happens here in America. We also talk about the restoration of capitalism in the film, and we have John Mackey, who's the CEO of Whole Foods, who says that in 10 years, if we had a genuine free market and medical liberty, we would not have any of these problems in our country. We also talk about personal responsibility, where people start to get serious, and this is for the Christian church yeah, about taking care of themselves, but also being responsible for their families, especially their elderly relatives. And then church responsibility, where we talk about examples of a medical ministry, where mm-hmm. people approach medicine as it should be, which is accompanied by the gospel, and minister to people in need, the genuine poor who really need help and free health care. And that's brought by charity, which we always would argue would be the best option to bring medical ministry. So that's the arguments that we have in the film, very uplifting and appropriate message that we are not lost, just like with homeschooling, you know, as being the solution to the public school system. There's medical liberty to be found in America, but people, the church especially, needs to start thinking about these issues now.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, the verse that we quote so often to talk about the glory of God is the one that actually says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so it specifically is dealing with, you know, personal responsibilities about what we are eating and drinking on a daily basis. Are we considering that as the glory of God? That's for another subject. But let me just tell our listening audience, Colin seemed to have taken his own advice there to heart, and you'll see that at the very end of the film, the new Colin Gunn that you find. He's half the man he used to be. No, but you'll see there that the new Colin Gunn there at the end of the film. Colin, what's the program now? Can people watch the thing, the DVD, the documentary online?
No, they can't watch it online yet, but they can go to our website and they can get a DVD. And what we're encouraging people to do is just show it in their with their families, show it in their churches. There's no cost, no license fee. Just show the film. And if you want me there to host a screening, that can be arranged as well. We just want to spend the next year just getting this message out there. I think it's an important message. It's for the church. It's for people that love liberty. And so I think this is a film that people will want to come out and see. So please encourage, you know, I want to encourage everyone to get a copy and watch it and then show it to others.
Excellent. Wow, what a great resource. Talk about timely as we see this taking place in our society today. This train is very far down the track. I don't know why, you know, we don't do something like we did with the GI Bill rather than a VA system where the GIs came back. We were going to give them education to get them acclimated back into society. We didn't then start universities that were specifically geared toward training and
right.
teaching them. We gave them a voucher and they could go to the existing universities that were there. And yet with like the VA system, now we got to have specific VA hospitals and create this huge bureaucracy that immediately the care drops and it just becomes a financial and actual physical nightmare for the people that are participating in it. But, Colin, you have brought so many things to light in this film. You did a very good job, again, just like the indoctrination film. want to commend you on the work that you have done. It's a real service to our country, and I think to the church even more specifically. So thank you very much for pulling this together and for doing this work and for visiting with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. It's great to talk to you again.
Okay, thanks. That was Colin Gunn, and let me give you some the website where you can go in order to find out about getting your copy of this film. I highly recommend that you do so. It'll certainly, you can't go into every little nuance of the medical industry, as you could see just from the so-called affordable health care bill that was passed. The thing is just massive in it, and so there's a lot of different nuances of it. But if you want a good overview of the situation where we find ourselves in right now, as well as then some solutions at the end of the film, then go on out to www.WTIF, or it stands for Wait Till It's Free. WTIfree.com. WTIfree, all one word, .com, and you can find out then all the details about how you can get a copy of this. Hey, tomorrow on the broadcast, going to have a special broadcast. We're going to be talking about the issue of same-sex marriage. There's a new evangelical group that is saying they're for couples being able to marry, same-sex couples. We're going to have a debate on air tomorrow. You won't want to miss that. Remember this and all the things that we talk about here on the program. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.